Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Mark 3:28-29. The most terrible sin in the Bible, in terms of eternal consequences, is the so-called unforgivable sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that if we commit the sin, we are subject to the so-called second death. Just what is the unpardonable sin? How can we avoid it? The purpose of today's sermon is to address the first question. What is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? And we're going to see two elements of what is not this blasphemy and three elements of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So let me start by saying that the expression unpardonable sin is not in the Bible, actually. But we refer to this sin when we speak about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ referred to it as a sin that cannot be forgiven in the Gospels. According to the Online Etymology Dictionary, the word blasphemy means profane speaking of God or sacred things. It comes from the Greek blasphemia. So, let's cover first what is not the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We're going to cover two things. Number one, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit does not refer to a terrible sin, as long as there is repentance. So, killing, for instance, it might be a terrible sin, right? I mean, it is. Certainly it is. What about adultery? It is a terrible sin as well. But those are not necessarily the unforgivable sin, because David committed both of them, and he was forgiven by God. Now, there were terrible consequences. The baby that he was expecting with his future wife died because of the affair he had and because he killed Uriah. And even Israel today is at war because of that sin. So there are terrible consequences, but God forgave him because he repented of his sins. So a terrible sin is not necessarily the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit when there is repentance. Number two, denying the so-called Trinity. That's not also the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. When I was in England, and I'm sure this has happened here as well to the ministers, the ministers usually have to rent a place, and sometimes it is a church. And when the pastor of the other congregation that rents the place to the Church of God knows that we just don't believe in Trinity, they don't just rent the place for us sometimes. So it is a terrible sin for people outside, for the Protestant church. But the problem with that is that it's just not in the Bible, the concept of Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible at all. I mean, the only verse that we could argue that speaks about the Trinity is 1 John chapter 5. You don't need to go there. And verses 7 to 8, it speaks about that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one. But the problem is that those verses were added. The old manuscripts don't have those words. Not the whole verses, but portions. But that portion that I just told you is not there. Instead of that, what the scripture refers to as the Holy Spirit is as the power of God. As 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." Or Acts 1:8, it says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." So, if the unpardonable sin is not a terrible sin, and it is not speaking evil against the Holy Spirit as a third person of the Trinity, what is it then? Let's review three elements. And the scriptures that specifically mention this phrase are in the Gospels, Matthew 12, Mark 3, and Luke 12. We're going to concentrate today in Matthew 12 and verse 31. Let's read that, brethren. Matthew 12, verse 31, it says, "Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come." Now, in order to understand this expression, we need to go back a little bit and read the context. So let's go back to verse 14. It says, "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against Jesus, how they might destroy him." So they planned how to accuse Jesus falsely. They attempted to discredit him in the eyes of the people. Let's go to verse 22. It says, "Then one who was brought to him," to Jesus, "who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, 'Could this be the Son of David?'" They recognized Jesus as the Messiah. That was clear for all the miracles he had been doing during his life. Now, the Pharisees saw that as well. And they had the knowledge of the scriptures. They knew very well that Jesus Christ had to be the Messiah. But instead of recognizing that, what did they say? Verse 24. They said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." So Satan. So what we see here, brethren, is three elements of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Pharisees were indeed speaking evil against God or against a sacred thing of God, like the power of God. They were saying that Jesus Christ did not perform his miracles through the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, but through an evil spirit, an unclean spirit, specifically through Satan. So that's a blasphemy, right? But not only that, they didn't do it in ignorance. They did it with knowledge, right? They had privileged knowledge. They knew the scriptures. They had seen the miracles of Jesus Christ. They had seen Jesus Christ feeding the multitudes. They saw Lazarus being resurrected. So they knew. They had privileged knowledge. That's the second element. And the third element is willingness. Remember that they plotted against Jesus. They got together. They had a council with the purpose of plotting against Jesus. So their actions were not impulsive, like falling just one time. No, they were determined to do something wrong against Jesus, and they just didn't want to change their attitude. So it is like a child. When a child does something wrong, or he says or she says something wrong, you won't blame that child if he doesn't or she doesn't know, right? You, as a parent, usually have to find out if he or she knew he was or she was wrong, and that if she did it on purpose or not, right? So you have these two additional elements of just speaking something wrong. It's not just speaking something wrong. You have to know that it was on purpose and that there was will from that person. So, in conclusion, we've seen that the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit does not refer to a terrible sin if there is repentance. And it does not refer either to denying the Trinity. It is, however, related to knowingly and intentionally or willfully those two additional characteristics. So we have rejecting the Holy Spirit with knowledge and willfully, right? This was something done by the Pharisees, right? But what about us, brethren? Can we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit? And if so, how can we avoid it? That will be covered tomorrow.